In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is presented to us as the fulfillment of prophecy. The prophesied king has come. The king is here, and the kingdom of heaven is with him. He's finally arrived. We've been looking at Jesus choosing 12 to be apostles, to be sent out, to represent him, to be ambassadors of him. And he chose the 12, and he gave them a power and authority. And then he gave them instruction on where to go to the house of Israel. And he gave them instruction in how to minister. Freely you've received, so freely give. He told them they didn't have to worry about taking anything with them, but to trust in the Father, in that he would provide. And he told them, look, you're going out into a hostile world. He said, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. And he told them about the persecution, the trouble that they would face. Now, we get to chapter 11, and he's finished his instruction to them, and he actually sends them out. Now, it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples that he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, are you the coming one? Or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said to them, go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. This is an amazing account that we have here. It's full of real life drama and real life application for us. John had heard in prison about the works of Christ. That's John the Baptist. He was in prison. Herod had thrown him in prison because John had spoken out about Herod taking his brother's wife and about all the evil things that Herod had done. He stood up. And because of that, he was thrown in prison. And in prison, he heard about the things that Jesus was doing. Oh, and he was excited. Hallelujah! This is awesome! But there he was in prison, day after day, week after week. He begins to wonder. And he sends two of his disciples to Jesus. Go ask him. Are you the coming one? Are you the Messiah? Are you the one that the prophets had written about? Are you the one that we've been waiting for? This is an amazing question. It's a great question. It's a question that should be asked. But when I look at this, I go, wait. It's a question that should be asked by most people. But this is John the Baptist. He wasn't Baptist. Okay, just the baptizer. John the Baptist asks, are you the coming one? Jump over to Luke chapter 1. Keep your place in Matthew, because Matthew 11 will come back. But I want to take a look at John the Baptist here, because this just blows my mind. Luke chapter 1. John the Baptist came from a godly heritage. He came from a godly home. His father was a Levitical priest named Zechariah. His mother's name was Elizabeth. In Luke 1:6, we are told they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Wow. This is a godly heritage. They couldn't have children. Elizabeth was barren. But while Zacharias was in the temple offering incense, it's at the altar of incense. That's right before the veil, the Holy of Holies in the holy place. He's inside the temple offering incense to the Lord. Gabriel, the angel, appears to him. In verse 13, Gabriel says, your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. John was filled with the Holy Spirit before he was born in the womb. Remember, Mary, she finds out she's with child. She goes to her cousin Elizabeth, John's mom. She comes in and she says something, and John jumps in the womb at the sound of her voice. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. He's given himself over to God. He's a Nazarite. From birth, a Nazarite. People would take a Nazarite vow for a certain period of time. Not John. He was a Nazarite. Totally committed to the Lord, given his life over to serving the Lord. Look at verse 16. Luke 1:16. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. John's ministry was to call a nation that was lost to repentance. Oh, and he did. He went out is boldly proclaiming, prepare the way of the Lord, that he was coming. and he's calling them to repent and to be baptized. And people by the thousands were coming. So many people were coming to John that the Romans were freaked out. They were thinking, this guy's the Messiah. He went before him. Verse 17, look. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That's what John did. Man, he's coming. Get ready. He was out there publicly. The people were coming. Now jump over there to John chapter 1. Keep your place in Matthew 11. We'll get back there. John chapter 1. When John came on the scene, people thought he was the Messiah. And they would ask him. And he would deny it. In John 1, 26, he says, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who coming after me is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. Look at verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. Wow. John. John was Jesus' cousin. 6 months apart. John said, I didn't know him. I didn't realize that he was the one. But then Jesus came to John. And as he's coming in the water, John's thinking, whoa, something isn't right here. He says to Jesus, I think you should be baptizing me. And Jesus says, you allow it for right now. And John, he baptized Jesus. And when Jesus comes up out of the water, he sees the heaven open up. And he sees the Spirit descend upon him like a dove. And John gets it. That's him. You are the one. The Lord had told me I committed my life to the Lord, preparing the way for you to come. I didn't know who he was going to be, but God told me, whoever comes and the heavens are opened up and the Spirit falls on, that's the one. You are it. Could you imagine? Wow. And he declared, he called him the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. He calls him the Son of God. Not just Savior, but Lord and Savior. God in flesh, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. So, let me ask you, did John have a pretty good testimony here of who Jesus was? This is John the Baptist. Go back to Matthew chapter 11. This is John the Baptist. Verse 3. He's asking, are you the coming one? Are you the Messiah? Are you the one? What in the world happened? John, how can you go from this testimony, the things that you saw, the things that you heard, the things that you personally experienced, how can you go from that place to this place? John's in prison. Things aren't going according to plan here. He's in prison. He was supposed to go out with a message. Prepare the way. That's what he was supposed to do. So he went out and he did that. And he knew that he was preparing the way for Messiah to come, to turn the hearts of the fathers. And so he went out and he did what God had told him. And he knew that if he did that, if he was faithful, God would be faithful. God's always faithful. So he went out and he did that. And he was waiting. He knew Messiah was there. Before he found out who he was, he knew he was present. He just didn't know who he was. But he knew he was coming on the scene. Oh, and when Messiah comes, watch out. He's going to shake this world up. He's going to change this world. So he goes out, he's preaching repentance. People are coming, they're repenting, the way is being prepared. His cousin Jesus shows up, the heavens open up, the Spirit descends on him. You're the one. Groovy, things are great. I'm in jail, no big deal. Oh yeah, probably need to be in jail. Because Isaiah said that when Messiah comes, that he would proclaim liberty to the captives. He would open up the prison doors for those that are bound. All right, come on, Jesus! When are you coming? How long do I have to sit in this dungeon? I'm here day after. When are you? You're here. I saw the dove. When are these things going to happen? When are you going to boot out the Romans and set up your kingdom? Remember, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. When is this going to happen? Why aren't you doing something about all of this? Is that real life or what? John had an expectation of what God should do. We never get like that, do we? We come with our thoughts, our expectation. I thought that if I came to Jesus, I mean, my life is going to change. Messiah, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. I didn't think it would be like this. I didn't think I was going to have problems. I thought, you need Jesus in your life and blue skies. Every day. Not too hot, not too cold. Smooth sailing. Oh, a peaceful life. He's the Prince of Peace. Peace, peaceful life. When peace like a river. Listen. I can't speak about your life. Because I know something about most of your lives, but I know a whole lot about mine. Let me just be honest with you, okay? More often than not, I find life to be very difficult. It's hard. Y'all might have it together more than me. But I find it extremely hard to be the husband and father that I want to be and the husband and father that I know I should be. I find it very difficult, challenging, every single day. I struggle with what I do. There's some days that I wonder if this is what I should really be doing. I know the Lord called me here. I know the Lord brought me here. But yet I struggle with what it is that I'm doing. I wonder if what I'm doing is the best for my family. And then, on top of just that that you're dealing with, I don't know what you're dealing with. I'm just telling you, these are my thoughts, okay? Then on top of that, then there's trials and temptations. That's before we get to the trials and temptations. And as a pastor, let me just tell you, there's buckets full. And sometimes I succeed. But sometimes I fail miserably. And then you have hopes, dreams, aspirations. This is how I hope things will work out. so often, the hopes, the dreams, and the aspirations get crushed in life. The life I'm living right now, okay, I love it. Don't get me wrong here, okay? I'm not going through a midlife crisis. I'm all bummed out. He's going to quit it. I'm just telling you, okay? The life I live right now, I love. I love my wife. I love my children. I love my family. But it isn't what I expected it to be. It didn't turn out like I expected it to be. Maybe you're better at planning or something. I'm just telling you my life. It didn't turn out the way I thought it was going to up to this point. And because of that, I sometimes get frustrated. Wait. Aren't I doing what you asked me to do? Oh, it's because of the failures in my life. Am I not doing this the right way? Aren't you supposed to be the Christ? Aren't you supposed to be the one that changes me? Aren't you the answer for the questions of life? Aren't you the answer for trials and tribulation and temptation? Aren't you the one? Aren't you the answer for my hopes and my dreams and my aspirations? Aren't you the one? And if you are the one, then why am I struggling so much with doubt? Because I gave my life believing that you were the one. Look at verse 4. Jesus answers John. Jesus answered and said to them, "Go tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." Jesus says, look at the evidence. Go tell John. Look at the evidence, John. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Look at the evidence, John. Get your eyes off your situation, your circumstances. Look at the evidence, and then go back to the book. John was from a godly home, the home of a Levitical priest. John was to be a priest. He's from the tribe of Levi, just as his father. He would have been a priest. He would have been taught and raised up in that environment. He would have known the word of God. He would have known the words of the prophet Isaiah. When God spoke to him in Isaiah 35, he said, Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong. Do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. The lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. Jesus says, John, look at the evidence. God is doing what he said he would do. In the midst of trial and tribulation, in the midst of trouble, in the midst of doubt, in the midst of questions, go back to the evidence. Go back to the book. When you question the Lord, wondering if you've got this right, well, you're in a place that the greatest prophet that ever was found himself in. A man who had evidence before him questioned. And Jesus says, look at it. Go back to the book. God said he would be born of a virgin. In Isaiah 7:14 he was. Said he'd be born in Bethlehem in Micah 5:2. He was. He said he'd be rejected by men. Isaiah 53. Said he'd be beaten and bruised for our sins, Isaiah 53. Said he would die on a cross, Psalm 22. Said he would be resurrected. You shall not leave my soul in the grave. Psalm 16. Take a look at the evidence. Who else? Who else has done these things? There's none. Yeah, but here's the problem. It's rather distant. Yeah, I read it in the book, and it's words on a page, but right now I'm all bound up. It's like I'm in this prison of doubt. Isn't there something for me? Something more personal than ancient history? The blind see. And the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. This is for you. Didn't you experience this in your life? We were blind sinners. We were blinded by our sin. Our sin had shut our eyes to the things of God. We couldn't see it. Right before our face, we could not see it. There was a veil over our eyes. And he lifted the veil. We were lame. Some more lame than others. But we were lame. We could not walk before God. Our sin had crippled us. Well, we couldn't walk righteously before Almighty God. But he changed our walk, our way of life. Because he cleansed us. We had a disease. It was sin. It began small and it grew. It became all pervasive. We couldn't stop the spread of our sin. We couldn't cleanse ourselves from sin. We couldn't heal ourselves from the effects of sin in life. We're like lepers. But he cleansed us. And he opened our ears to hear. To hear him speak. Not in the wind. Not in the earthquake. But to hear his soft, still voice. Gives eyes to see, to read his word. Ears to hear what the Spirit says. A mind to understand and to perceive. A heart to embrace. Oh yeah, he gave us a new heart. Because we were dead. We were dead in our sins and trespasses. We had no hope. We had no help. We had no future. We were dead. But he raised us up. Gave us a new life. And a hope and a promise of eternal life. And the poor. We were spiritually bankrupt. We were poor, miserable. But we had the gospel, the good news preached to us. That Jesus came to die for our sins. He lived a life we could not live and died a death that we could not die. He lived a perfect, sinless life. Life in our place. He paid our debt that we could not pay on the cross to set us free from the bondage of sin. He was buried and resurrected on the third day to show us that there is another life after this one. Look at the evidence. You're going to have doubts. You're going to have struggles. And he knows. And some are going to be imprisoned and beaten. Some are going to be imprisoned and killed. Some are going to struggle through life, questioning why is this happening? He said, in this life you will have tribulation. It's part of life. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I still have hopes and dreams. I still have aspirations. Oh, man. Ozzie and Harriet. Never a bad day for them. That's good. But I got to go back when things aren't good. He says, blessed is he who's not offended because of me. We stumble. We become offended. Oh, well, God didn't do this. What? No, that's what God did. When things get tough, just come on in. Just say, I want to just come in. Well, we might be here. If not, well, call me. I'll come open up. Just come and sit down before the cross. See, it might not be going the way you thought it was supposed to be. But it's going the way God says it's supposed to be. And we look at the cross, at what God did. What he did for us. What he's doing for us. This hasn't ended. Today we're going to have communion this morning. Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. Getting our focus off of our own thoughts, our own ideas. This is the box I wanted you to jump in. Get your eyes off of that and get your eyes onto Jesus, remembering what he did. So guys, if you come up, while they're passing out the elements, please hold them, and we'll partake together. But turn your eyes to Jesus. John the Baptist. He asked, are you the Messiah? Are you the hope of Israel? Are you the hope of nations? Are you the one that the prophets wrote about? And Jesus said, oh, John, just take a look. Take a look, John. The blind see and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Don't be offended by that, John. Don't be offended by your situation or your circumstance. I'm doing all these things. I know it looks crazy to you, but I'm in control. I've got it. On the night that he was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. And he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. He said, take, eat. Do this in remembrance of me. Take and eat and remember what he's done for you. In the same manner, he took the cup, he blessed it. And after he had blessed it, he said, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. A new covenant. A new promise. Not on performance, but on grace. Faith. Trust. By grace you are saved. Oh. Trusting in him. Believing in him. Having faith. Even when the things you see don't make sense. He's faithful. Even when we're faithless, he will not deny himself. You have doubts. You wonder, I'm going through all this, it's not making sense. Do you remember the garden? In the garden, he said, Father, if there's any other way, take this cup from me. There is no other way that we could be saved. There was no other way for God to initiate this new covenant with me in him, with you in him. There was no other way but through the blood. And Jesus says, don't forget. You're covered by the blood. No matter how rough, no matter how hard, no matter how difficult, no matter how much you don't understand it, you are covered by my blood. Take the cup. Remember what he did for you. Jesus, we thank you. Life is hard, Lord. It's difficult. It just doesn't work out the way I think it's supposed to. I'm so thankful, Lord, you're in charge. Lord, help us to get our eyes off situation and circumstances. Keep our eyes fixed on you, the author, the finisher of our faith. Help us, Lord, to run with endurance. In your name, Jesus. Amen.